Peace, peace, peace. I am Dr. Philip Roundtree, and you are tuned into Hashtag You Good Man, a men's wellness conversation, a space where we invite you into discussions on men's healing, health, and here are our attempts at holding it all together in real time. This week, I have the pleasure of being joined by a brother who has been instrumental in bringing Black men's mental health into the forefront of conversation, both nationally and internationally. As the founder and lead therapist at Eustress Inc., he provides safe spaces for Black folks to exhale, educating and encouraging us to see the power in ourselves and community. As a speaker, whether it's in his hometown of Bertie, North Carolina, in a school gymnasium, or on a TEDx talk stage, he uses his life experiences and journey navigating bipolar disorder to inform and inspire others. He's the reason the Hashtag You Good Man men's group, which I lead here in Philly, has existed for 7 years, inspired by his own locker room talk men's meetup. He is Rashawn Miller. Peace, brother. Thank you for joining.
Peace, 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 bro. Man, it's amazing just to be across, you know, the screen with you, brother. Like, we've been at this for a long time. We've been doing this for years, man. And I just enjoy to see your growth. Enjoy to see your transition even to becoming Dr. Phil. But then, you know what I'm saying, just understanding that, you know, you come at this with a pure heart to be able to help our people and to be able to show up in certain ways and have certain conversations that many individuals try to shy away from. So I appreciate you inviting me.
And I can say likewise. I can say the same, man. But before we get into conversation, I want to ask you the most important question that I'll ask you during our time together. You ready?
Yeah.
How are you feeling right now, fam?
Man, I'm a go two different spectrums, man. Well, a couple of different spectrums. So right now I said I'm excited just to be here with you. But then to be real with you, I'm just finishing up with work right now. So like taking off the load with clients that I've seen today. You know, you have that therapist hat on, and you got to show up for our folks and see that they are hurting in so many different ways. To be real, you know, some of it is self-impacted because they make, you know, not the best decisions, but then other stuff, you're seeing people that are going hungry or they're trying to figure out how they're going to make their financial means and all of those stuff, like certain things that we can't even change and we don't even have answers to, you know what I'm saying? And it can be tough at times. And then just continuing to show up for them. And then also, you know, we feel like we have to continue showing up even when we're tired. So when you reach that point where you're tired and still trying to push through, you have that sense of satisfaction, but then also that sense of guilt within yourself, like, yo, you know you need to rest. So I'm teeter-tottering, you know what I'm saying, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, listen, I appreciate your vulnerability. And the reason why I say that's the most important question that I ask you right now, because everything else we're going to talk about, folk can Google, right?
Yeah,
Folk can Google who you are, folk can Google your story. But this moment right here in this minute, this second, this really is the only thing that matter. And so I got that question from my homegirl who's here in Philly on public radio, Envy McKee. And every time I'm on with her, she's like, I'm gonna ask the most important question. How are you feeling? And initially it's just like the same thing we do. Like, I'm good. Right. But then when you hear it repeatedly, you're like, oh, this person cares. Right. And you realize, yo, it's so vital for us to check in on how we're feeling in this moment in time. See, like you said, it's this expectation of you being listen, you're a therapist, you're a speaker, you do all of these things, you're known for so many things, right? But you might be showing up like, yo, listen, I'm just somebody who's tired right now. I'm just somebody who, you know, just experienced some type of loss. I just experienced some joy. And so it's important for us to take inventory of how we're feeling in that moment. Cause then if we need to do some things to potentially, you know, make some shifts, make some changes, then we can do that. So I appreciate you being vulnerable enough to share that with us. And again, that's why I rocks with you.
And I appreciate that, man. I mean, if we don't exemplify what it means to really be truthful to our people, like, they ain't gonna do that. I'm gonna continue on in those same cycles.
That's heavy. That's heavy. We're gonna sit with that for like a split second. They're gonna continue. Cause it's real though. Right? Like if we're not honest with ourselves first and foremost, if we're not honest with others, then it's just, that's what they say insanity is, right? Repeating the same thing over and over again. But now when we start to get in things about our socio-emotional wellness, this honesty is super important.
And I think for me, so it's interesting that you even, you talk about vulnerability. Yesterday I was invited to I say extended church homes that I grew up in as a kid. They asked me to be the Men's Day speaker. And I spoke about the Apostle Paul. And I was just talking about and not even talking about, religion or anything. We talk about the stories of the Bible, right? And you talk about how people show up. And Paul was like, he's had these visions and everything, but then he highlighted his thorns. And so a lot of times when you highlight your, we try to hide our thorns because we try to put on this perfect face for everyone. But with us, I'm gonna show you that, some days I don't have good days. Some days, even with the diagnosis of bipolar disorder, like, yeah, some people may look at it like, oh, he's doing all of this stuff worldwide. But yeah, every day is not the greatest day. And I still got to do the work to make sure it's the greatest day as possible. Like, it ain't just go, I'm gonna just wake up and like, oh, it's Rashawn Miller and everything is perfect. Nah. So, and I, I had to tell the congregation yesterday, I'm like, a lot of times we look at vulnerability as a weakness, but also when you're able to lean into vulnerability, it's a form of worship. And not even that worshiping a God or spirit or anything. It's a point about worshiping yourself and understanding your whole self.
Word. That's heavy. That's heavy. Yeah, listen, man, you preaching, right? You preaching. No, but I think what you highlight, and it's something that I talk about as well, right? Like acknowledging the thorns, acknowledging the trauma that you've experienced, acknowledging your full experience as a human being. We want to feel good all the time, and that's just not realistic. People ask me from time to time, especially when I speak, like, Phil, are you happy? And I'm like, well, my goal isn't necessarily to be happy all the time. I want to be able to experience all the emotions and understand them, right? I don't want to sit in one too long because ultimately that can end up with anxiety, depression, and so many things, which I already navigate on its own. So if we're honest with ourselves and we own our complete story for others, for ourselves, right? It's no harm that can potentially come. If it's again, this is a process, right? This doesn't mean that you won't feel pain, that you won't reflect on things that you've experienced. I appreciate you bringing that up.
Definitely, definitely, man. I mean, it's like I said, if we don't do it to show our people that they're capable of doing it, who's going to?
So you brought up your experience and your diagnosis of bipolar disorder. So can you briefly talk about what that experience was like prior to diagnosis and afterwards?
Run through it real quick. I grew up in North Carolina, so I grew up in the South. Was raised at a in a place where it was a very small town. So I was a three sport athlete, and ended up going to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, on an academic scholarship. But then walked on to the football team and the track team there. So playing D1 sports, and my identity was tied into being an athlete and being a scholar. And at the beginning of my sophomore year, both of those things were gone. Both of those things were gone from the lens of me having to be on academic probation because of the fact that, I wasn't making the grades that I needed to, and then also suffering a helmet, had a helmet blew out my knee. So I'm like, all of that stuff is gone, and that's what led to my spiral, man. Got to a point where I lost 25 pounds over a matter of 6 weeks. Got to phases where I couldn't sleep, and when I couldn't sleep, the longest I've been up was like 2 weeks in a row, and that's when the hallucination started. And for me, that was a tough space to be in because of the fact of, growing up, all we've heard about with mental health was that people crazy, you stay away from crazy people, or they take crazy people away. And so I was scared to even discuss those things. But my mom, she could notice just something different in my voice. And when she noticed something different in my voice, she had my cousin come check in on me, and I ended up in the hospital. Ended up in a padded room. Ended up in a straitjacket because I punched somebody when I got to the hospital. Not because I was trying to be violent, but I was just scared, man. This was in 2006, so we're talking about almost 20 years ago, where now we're hearing conversations about mental health, and we're hearing conversations about men's wellness and all of these different things. At that time, when they threw that label at me, I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I just want to get up out of here. It can come from a community where you just pray about it and you just move on. But one of the things that definitely helped me out was connecting with Dr. Kendall Jasper, and he was a black man, and he helped me move along in that journey of therapy and understanding what it looks like and understanding, what meds can do for me. But then also, med is now a cure-all, and I needed to actually do the work. And so going through that, got better. And when I got better, I thought I was cured because, again, athlete, you've been an athlete and stuff. We've had injuries, and once you nurse that injury enough and you feel like you get back to normal, you go get back to what you're used to. So that's why I try to treat my mental health journey like. And to be real with you, the symptoms ended up coming back once I got back to school. But instead of me doing meds and going back to therapy, I self-medicated with alcohol. And to be real with you, it wasn't even just alcohol. It was also I would try different drugs. Also self-medicated with sex. Also just self-medicated with different types of foods and stuff like sweets and stuff like that. Like we when we talk about self-medicate, we only lean towards the drugs and the alcohol, but we don't think about that other stuff that we, dibble and dabble in. And it got to the point, man, where I no longer wanted to be here and attempted suicide three times. And that was my real wake-up call to say that this is something that I was gonna live with for the rest of my life. But it was also something that I needed to learn how to live with and learn how to manage in so many different ways. So, for me, that was my journey into getting back into therapy. And when I got back into therapy, I started, when you experience something, we talk about trauma and all those things, you look at stuff completely different. Like if you're in a car accident and somebody blindsides you, now when you're driving down the road, you're paying attention to every single thing that's going on. That's how I was now when it came down to mental health. I was looking at everything that was going on and people in my life, and I could see the gaps in it in so many ways, and how our people suffered because of the fact that we tried to wear this mask all the time.
Folk think that because we may talk about our story often, right? That hey, it's just second nature, right? And part of that may be true, but also whenever we talk about it, we never know what might come up in that one time we talk about it, right? And so sometimes we take that for granted. So I just wanted to say, listen, I appreciate you in sharing that story. What you high some points, some key things that you brought up, which stuck out for me was one, this idea of like role over-identification, which happens to so many of us, especially as black men, to over-identify with these roles that we find ourselves in. Whether it's as a football player, whether it's as an academic, we forget those other aspects of ourselves that is so vital when we talk about maintaining our mental and emotional wellness. You also brought up just this idea of first, where we're getting this information from when it comes to mental health. And this is why it's so important to have folk like you who are out here on the front lines and who's accessible to be able to communicate these things. I remember when I saw my third and final therapist, Dr. Val, when I walked in, I just started crying. Instinctively, she hugged me. Right? That's that unspoken thing that black folk do. And so this is why it's so important for us to be in this space. And then you also brought up the fact of how when we're navigating our mental health, that is not linear, right? I remember the great Jenifer Lewis, who was on the Breakfast Club, as when I first learned about you on the Breakfast Club, she was talking about her diagnosis, and she was like, you know how she is. Listen, this is something I'm going to be navigating for the rest of my life. And for me, it was just like, Yes, right. Having that level of awareness is so critical. When we talk about this healing journey, there's no finite destination. This is a journey, and we're going to experience this. So hopefully, we have more highs than lows. But it is a journey nonetheless.
And I think to your point, it's important for us, not to just get caught up in that feeling, because that feeling is fleeting, right? The feeling of happiness or feeling good and all of those things. So like you said before, when you get too caught up in that one particular feeling, once it's gone, then that leads to more so the anxiousness, or leads more so into the depression, because you're grieving the loss of that one particular feeling, when instead of experiencing an array of emotions and feelings that go on with life.
Listen, as game preaching, you preaching, good brother. So you've had this. So once you got this diagnosis, and you hooked up with Dr. Jasper, who really opened your eyes and letting you know and see what you need to do to navigate your mental health. What did you do as far as like strategies? Did your strategies change as far as like coping? I know you talked about medication, but we know that medication isn't an end all be all, as you articulated, right? So what did your coping look like pre-diagnosis, pre-Dr. Jasper to after?
Pre-diagnosis and pre-Dr. Jasper, man, coping looked like it was all about sports. And one of my favorite sports was football, because of the fact of, you can able to release that energy and that pain in so many different ways, right? It's a barbaric sport. You get praised for throwing your body on the line, and and even when you get injured or you got these war room wounds, you got people coddling you. You know what I'm saying? In a way that it's a gladiator sport, and so like you get the, especially if you win too. You know what I'm saying? You get people that are nurse your injuries and all of those things. So like it gave you a false sense of self, based off of mutilating your body, that was one of my things. On top of that, it was coping looked like producing. I was good in the classroom, so I was able to produce those good grades. So, I wouldn't have to deal with any other things that was going running through my head. You never get down to the root of what's going on to really explore those particular things. And on top of that, I mean, I discussed that, a lot of times we use sex as a coping mechanism. I was using that even early on as well, because I was exposed to sex stuff at 5 years old. So, you start to do those things so early on, and then we get praised for doing certain things early on. So I technically lost my virginity at 11 years old, and she was 19 years old. So, and this is coming off of being molested at five. So we talk about coping. A lot of times the coping goes back, we go back to the same traumas that we experience and do the same thing.
What does coping look like for you now, or say in the
Now, yeah.
last 10 years or so?
It has evolved. At first it was like medication. And with the medication, it got to the point where we was looking at it, because it's not an exact science. And so since it's not an exact science, when I first started, I was like, yo, I don't like the way I feel. I feel lethargic. I feel like I don't have any feelings. I don't have any emotions. I feel like a zombie. And so Dr. Jasper, helped me come up with that language to understand and understand, talk to my psychiatrist and tell them, like, look, okay, this is a little bit too strong. I'm not getting enough sleep, and I'm doing this, and I'm still feeling. So like being able to have that open line of communication with my doctors was essential. But then one of the things that I've learned for myself, and this was something that I don't know why, but I picked it up myself, is understanding that, I got to do research on me and understand the things that trigger me, the things that are my protective factors. the things that I need to do to help me live the best life that I want to live. And so that was me, looking at the foods and stuff that I eat. So I don't eat beef and pork anymore because I started to notice when I was eating that it was sitting heavy on me. And like the nutritional value in it is not the greatest, in addition to taking those meds. So if you're eating something that's very highly processed, that's got chemicals and stuff in it, and then you're taking another chemical to try to help your moods, something ain't gonna react right. So being conscious of that, understanding how much water that I'm drinking. I got into meditation. I got into journaling is a huge thing for me, bro. Like I keep my journal with me everywhere I go, because it helps me get outside of my head and write stuff down. Yoga, working out. Now I look at, as an athlete, when we played sports, we worked out. We felt like that was a job. Now it's therapeutic, and I say it's therapeutic because people say, "Oh, the gym is my therapy." No, therapy is therapy. The gym is therapeutic. And so it's going back to what I said, where, even with the suicide attempts and stuff, and because sometimes I can feel numb even when I'm not on medication. Going to the gym allows me to put my body through punishment in a productive way. Like me trying to lift the heaviest weights that I can lift or push my body to the max, but then also I can see what my growth can look like internally.
To highlight, what you articulated, you introduced me to this term, right? Just based off your organization, right? Eustress. We talk about positive stress, right? And so going to the gym is stressful, right? The byproduct is having lowering resting heart rate. You also left out coloring, right?
Oh,
Because again,
I do so
I'll
much
be
stuff,
I. But that's it, but it's so during during one of my sessions a few years ago, I was like, you know what, we're going to color. Yeah, posted about. I was like, yeah, you know what, we're going to color. What happens is, as a black boy, if you're not this phenomenal painter at a certain age, then what's that? That's corny. Or they're going to start talking about your sexuality, and that's the worst thing that you can say to a black boy, is the question to have to say something regarding his sexuality, because that has speaks to masculinity and the unhealthy aspects of it, right? And so with this being said, I was like, you know what, we're going to color. So I printed out some pictures of some lions and some tigers and some like parrots, and came at the table, like 20 brothers came in, had them all around, had the pencils. And Bubba's like, "What's this? Oh, this is what we doing today, right?" And again, this is where this idea of masculinity is so interesting, right? Muslim brother, he came to one session. That was the only session he came to. He was like, "Oh, all right." He sat down. He started coloring. Everybody follows suit, right? Everybody follows suit. So we're taught to that. If you're not a child, you need to do away with childish things, right? Even if it could help us in our journey, even if it can help us be expressive and get out. If we're not good at journaling, if we're not the best writers, right? We have coloring to express. We have colors to say, hey, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm doing. So getting it out. So I wanted to highlight that and thank you for giving me another tool to add to my toolbox. Because I think once COVID happened, so many of us realized, like, yo, our tool belt for coping is mad limited. So as we get ready to wrap up, I guess my final question will be, what advice would you give black boys and men and those who love them on the importance of taking care of themselves mentally and emotionally?
Oh man, that's a very good question, and it's a loaded one, but it's a very good one. I would say the first advice would be give yourself an opportunity to be honest with yourself, and that's be able to learn the things that you enjoy, being able to learn the things that provide you with feeling safe, also the things that allow you to open up and be vulnerable. For those that support these individuals, understand that sometimes you may not be that person that they want to run to. Just because you want to say that you are a safe space, To be real with you, somebody tell me that they are a safe space. I'm looking at you side eye because safe is contingent upon how I feel, not what you present to me and what you tell me. So allow me to say you are my safe space, not that you telling me, oh, I'm a safe space, so let's do it. Nah. We as black men have been through too many traumatic events for to trust somebody in that particular lens. Sometimes you got to give us the space to be able to allow us to do that. But no, my ultimate advice would be, yo, create space for you to learn who you are and embrace who you are as in its entirety and in your wholeness. Don't hide your thorns.
That's so important, brother. Listen, I want to thank you, Rashawn Miller, for coming through. Thank you, the viewers, for tuning in. Remember, when discussing men's mental health and wellness, the road isn't easy, but it's worth it.
Definitely
Peace.
worth it. Peace.